a new heaven and a new earth. In this week's lesson, we shall review what we have done many times in our lives, the consummation of the divine plan of salvation. Why has God done all this? Why have we studied 12 lessons that are to call to our attention the role of God's people individually and collectively in the various cultural settings of this planet? Why are we told this? Why has the church been given a mission? In order that men and women, in every community, in every age, in every kind of society, in every family, might be able to move at last in triumph through the pearly gates into the city of God. Very soon, that climax will be reached. Part number one indicates that it will occur in the fullness of time. What does this mean? In God's good time. God's purposes, no haste and no delay. As we read the story of the flood, God knew 120 years, flood would come. When we read the story of the Exodus, God says 400 years more, then will come the end. When he talked to the Jewish nation, he says 490 years, the commandment will go forward to quash the covenant that has been made with the Jewish people and turn to the Gentiles. God has a time. He's a time-keeping, precise God. In the fullness of time, the end will take place. Let us not worry about delays or accelerations. In God's good time, the end will be. Now, since I don't know that, I must live day by day. As if my call came today, I would be ready to answer. I remember somebody telling me a long time ago, to live and work as if I had a million years to serve, but to live and trust in my relationship with God as if I was going to die today. Part number two, the signs of the times. There are many signs given in many books of the Bible, including particularly Christ's Olivet Discourse, that give the signs when his coming and of the end of the world are going to be near. He kindly, graciously informs us when we can expect his coming. He doesn't leave us in darkness. He says, I, the Lord, will do nothing, but I will reveal my secret to my servants, the prophets. He's going to come, he's going to destroy this world. So he reveals his secret through Jesus Christ, the prophet, and gives many kindly signs that tell us when the end will be near. Economic, hunger, famine, poor, wages kept back, geologic, earthquakes, epidemics, pestilences, false prophets, false religions, false Christs, nation rising against nation, international hostility, men destroying the world. We could gather together dozens of signs that tell us his coming is near. So what? Be ye therefore ready. Part number three. The gospel is going to be preached. This is one of the signs that I am looking to be fulfilled soon. It isn't fulfilled. The gospel yet hasn't been preached in every nation. Now, I don't believe that that means that every human being must have some Seventh-day Adventist sit down in his living room and giving him a series of Bible studies. But I do mean that every human being on this planet will have opportunity to understand enough about the gospel of the kingdom so that if he takes the trouble to follow up that lead, he can find out what he needs to know in order to be saved. And by all the electronic means that are now going on in the world, and all the other methods of multiplying a proclamation of the gospel, it won't be far now, in the future, when the gospel will have been preached and the end will come. Part number 4. He will come. Let us make no mistake about that. Long ago Jesus says, as you watch me go, so I will come. In other words, my going is the guarantee of my return. Nobody had gone in the sense that Jesus went. Nobody was caught up while he was talking with his friends, and levitation took him out of sight. But Jesus says, as I go, as you see me go, so I will come. The same divine power that enabled one will enable the other. It will be the same Jesus, the Lord himself, our friend, our elder brother, who will come to do certain things. He'll come to cause the righteous dead to life, first resurrection. He'll come to change and translate, transform the righteous living. And the two together will be caught up into the air to meet the Lord in the clouds, for he will come in the glory of the Father, his own glory, and the glory of the angels. The wicked dead will stay in their graves. The wicked living will be destroyed by the brightness of his coming. And so when Jesus Christ comes, these activities will take place immediately at his second coming. Part number 5, then for 1,000 years Satan will be bound. I believe, as the Bible says, in chains of darkness, confined to this planet for 1,000 years in pitch darkness. The angel that arrests him and binds him comes with the key to the bottomless pit. This term in the Greek Old Testament has been translated as the deep. Remember Genesis 1, 1 and 2? Darkness was on the face of the deep. The deep describes the condition of this planet just before Jesus said, let there be light. And the light coming made possible every form of life. So as I read the story in Revelation 20, 1 and 2, of the angel coming and locking him in the abyss, in the deep, in chains of darkness, I get a picture of the Lord allowing this planet, during the millennium, to revert to the state it was in before God said, let there be light. So there is no living thing. It then evidently will go down to absolute zero. Even the atoms will not move. And Satan is left to do what he can. He's claimed to be the prince of this earth. He's claimed to give men a better break in everything that they have. He's claimed to be more effective than God himself. But what he's done is to use the gifts of God. He uses the resources of the earth. He uses the relationships of life. He uses the sunshine and all the beauties and blessings that God has given us. But now he's bereft of them. And the Lord would appear, as I read the story, to say in effect, all right, Satan, you've claimed all this, now we'll give you 1,000 years, do what you can. And of course he can do nothing. Now beside this, the righteous, dead and resurrected, living and translated, are with God. But they're missing members of their families and loved ones. This will give them an opportunity to review 1 Corinthians 6, the records concerning their absent relatives, so that they will have no doubt in their minds again that God's decision to exclude them was right. Then following the millennium, we see the wicked dead raised to life. The New Jerusalem comes down. Jesus is on his great white throne. Above the throne is a cross. Around the cross is the rainbow. In panoramic view, as Great Controversy depicts it, the whole history of the Great Controversy is revealed. Every being in the universe reviews what has taken place. When it's all finished, Satan, the wicked, the righteous, the celestial beings, all fall down and acknowledge, just and holy are thy ways. Then Satan gives his final exhibition of rebellion. He rouses the wicked to seek to tear Christ from his throne. Then it is that fire comes down from heaven and destroys this world and all the wicked. Part number 6, God makes a new heaven and a new earth. All the former evils, all the mutations, modifications, destructions of Satan are removed. And a new planet is called into being. The New Jerusalem settles as a capital city of this new planet, and the redeemed of all the ages there unite in worshipping God. There is happiness, there is work, there is worship, there is music, there is mutual living together. All our brethren and sisters, all our sons and daughters of the Heavenly Father, all our members of the royal family, Jesus Christ is their elder brother. Nothing hurts, nothing destroys. All see Him as He is. All know Him as He is. All are with Him as He is. And the divine purpose has been carried out. We started the quarter by thinking of the church in the world and asking ourselves, what is the mission of the church in the world? The mission of the church is to bring about changes in individual lives, in every age, in every society, in every culture, so that those changed, converted, transformed human beings might be forever happy in God's presence. As the Bible presents the picture, in the mystery of God's providence, the church fulfills its mission. For there will be a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwells righteousness and righteous people. As we close this quarter's lessons, let it be with a prayer that the Lord will make us as individuals successful in the mission to which we have been called.
This has been another classic sermon from the Archive of American Christian Ministries. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.